This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
The National Health Service, or NHS, in England announced it will not routinely prescribe puberty blockers for children and young people experiencing gender dysphoria. And the decision referenced research collected by the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence in 2020 that raised concerns of uncertainty in the treatment's efficacy and potential side effects. And Associate Professor Ada Chung is a Principal Research Fellow in Endocrinology at Austin Health and established the Trans Health Research Group, the University of Melbourne. Ada, welcome back to Joy Drive.
Thanks very much for having me, Warren.
Why has the UK banned puberty blockers?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So the NHS, which is the health system in England, has stopped the routine use of puberty blockers. And it seems to be, there was a review, but it seems to be more of a political decision rather than a medical or a scientific decision. Because the UK actually commissioned the CAS review to examine the NHS's gender services for children and young people in England, and the report of the review actually hasn't even been released yet. So the final report is coming out in the coming months, and so they've made this decision even before their own review about gender identity services. They've taken the approach that they've gone against international bodies and international medical societies. They've gone against the World Professional Association of Transgender Health recommendations. And they've really gone against the wishes, values and preferences of trans young people and their families. And it seems like they've underestimated the benefits of puberty suppression and overestimated the potential risks.
I find that terrifying that a medical decision has been made in the UK based on politics rather than, you know, what the evidence is saying, what the latest research is saying. I find that really terrifying.
It is really terrifying, and unfortunately that's the case in several jurisdictions around the world, and UK is one of them. When there's a conservative government and with people who have different agendas, it is really terrifying when politics interferes with medical care and evidence-based care.
What impact will this ban have on kids experiencing gender dysphoria in the UK?
Yeah, so it's really going to be significant and disastrous, in my opinion. So, you know, we use puberty blockers in young people who have started puberty and are experiencing severe gender dysphoria. And the whole goal is to halt puberty so that people don't... It prevents permanent harm from unwanted puberty changes. And we know that there's been lots of cohort studies that puberty blockers are associated with either stable mental health or improved mental health, definitely, and reduce self-harm in some studies. And not providing them or delaying them, you know, is emotionally distressing for young people. And it's associated, the research shows it's associated with poorer outcomes. And so giving a period of puberty blockers allows young people time to mature emotionally and make decisions about the right, if any, future gender-affirming healthcare for them. They're well tolerated, there are a few side effects which are monitored for, and they're usually not started without a detailed multidisciplinary assessment prior. And the whole idea is that it gives people time so that some people who take puberty blockers decide to stop, and if they stop, they resume their puberty. Some go on to take hormone therapy to affirm their gender, and there's no evidence to suggest that taking puberty blockers doesn't set people on one path. It doesn't influence the choice to later take hormones or not. But the whole idea is that it gives time for the young person to decide and get a clearer picture about what path they want to take in the future.
We've heard, some of these conservative people say that if someone starts puberty blockers and then changes their mind, you mentioned that they can, then puberty, once they do stop it, puberty continues. So what is the, what's the argument that these people are saying? What's the fear that they're saying that to stop or to ban puberty blockers? And let's dispel that fear. Is it true or is it not true?
Well, the whole goal of puberty blockers is so that kids can stop if they decide that they, you know, gender affirmation isn't for them. But some people who, you know, but for those who continue on the path to take hormone therapy, it can be life-saving to not have to go through a puberty that they don't want and doesn't align with their gender. You know, there's lots of research that shows that, you know, being able to access puberty blockers improves and leads to stable mental health, and not doing, not allowing puberty blockers can cause significant harm. The other reason we use puberty blockers is in non-trans kids, so in cis kids who have early puberty, we call that precocious puberty, and NHS haven't banned the use of puberty blockers or limited the use of puberty blockers for that cohort of patients. So it seems a little bit ironic that they think that it's, you know, considered safe enough for very young children with early precocious puberty who may be more vulnerable to side effects, but they're not considered safe enough for transgender adolescents who are probably have more capacity to, because they're probably a bit older, to actively participate in decision making. I think it's almost discriminatory that, you know, they say that you can use puberty blockers for these young children with early puberty, but you can't for trans children.
Do you reckon this ban could lead to bans on puberty blockers in other countries? What's the, you know...
It really depends on the political status of the country and the agenda of individual governments. I'm not sure.
So puberty blockers, just to summarise, in terms of they can be stopped and...
they can be stopped. That's the whole purpose.
Doesn't force you down a particular path as such.
Not at all.
And by making them available to kids with gender dysphoria, we're potentially improving their mental health and also potentially saving lives. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, tell us some. Now, you started the Trans Health Research Group at the University of Melbourne. What does the Trans Health Research Group do?
We're a team of researchers. We're really committed to improving the health and well-being of the trans community. And we do that through... co-design, so more than half of my team are trans people themselves, and we all work together, clinicians, scientists, researchers with lived experience, to really try and improve the health and well-being of the community. So everything, we have three main research priorities, the first being understanding gender-affirming hormone therapy, the second being how do we best deliver healthcare delivery to the community, and the third being...
Oh, Ada, I think we may have lost you.
Health issues. Oh, we've got you. The community.
We lost you for a little bit, but we've got you back. Ada, so essentially the research is happening, the science is happening, the evidence...
Sorry about that.
That's all right. The evidence-based care is happening out there. It's just the political will that's getting in the way.
It is, yeah. And this, you know, my colleagues at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute and the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne are doing lots of research into the understanding puberty blockers and the effects and the adverse effects. And so research is happening. I think, you know, people talk about the lack of randomised controlled trials in this space, but it's actually not ethical to do randomised controlled trials for puberty blockers for an established treatment. And there's many things in medicine where we don't have randomised controlled trials, and we make decisions based on cohort studies. And like, for example, appendicitis. We don't randomise people to appendicectomy and no appendicectomy because not doing an appendicectomy, we know is going to cause harm.
Ada, really...
So it's the same applies for puberty blockers and lots of medical treatments in Australia.
Really important conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today. And I love the work you're doing at the Trans Health Research Group at the University of Melbourne.
Thank you so much, Warren. We appreciate it.
Keep us posted. That Ada, thanks for that. That is Ada Chung, Professor Ada Chung, Principal Research Fellow in Endocrinology at the Austin Health. And also, Ada established the Trans Health Research Group, which you just heard us speak about, at the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.